إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعين وأستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. عليكم السلام. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, they must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Al-Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Al-Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. After this, we greet you all with the greeting of Al-Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we would like to welcome you to continuation of explanation of Sharh Bulugh al-Maram lil Imam al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, which is the book of the attainment of the objective, compiled by Imam al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi. And inshallah, today, which is Tuesday, July 22nd for the year 99, equivalent to the 13th of Rabi' al-Thani for the year 1420. And today, our fifth class in the fifth album. And we're still 27. Yeah, today is the 7-27-99, 13 of Rabi' al-Thani for the year 1422. And this constitute the class number, the fifth class for the fifth album. We've been talking for the last month concerning marriage. And today, inshallah, we dealing with the same subject under chapter number 5. Chapter 5 deals with Bab al-Qasm. And al-Qasm is from to divide something. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. And this related to a person who have more than one wife. And how he supposed to behave and deal with them. And in page number 371, the book Bulugh al-Maram, Arabic and English version, and today we have hadith number 905. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقسم لنسائه فيعدل ويقول اللهم هذا قسمي فيما أملك فيما أملك فلا تلمني فيما تملك ولا أملك. رواه الأربعة وصححه ابن حبان والحاكم، ولكن رجح الترمذي إرساله. This hadith, which is reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, this hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, al-Tirmidhi, al-Nisa'i, Ibn Majah, Ibn Hibban, and al-Hakim. The hadith classified to be weak, but the beginning of the hadith is correct. So part of the hadith is correct, but the hadith as hadith a whole is weak. Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to divide visitation between his wives equally, and this is the portion of the hadith which is correct. Okay, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to divide the visitations as well as spending the nights among his wives, and his behavior was adl, justice. The portion that is say, O Allah, this my division concerning what I have control over it, and so don't blame me concerning I have no control over it, this is not authentic. The next hadith, which hadith number 906, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من كانت له امرأتان فمال إلى أحدهما فمال إلى إحداهما جاء يوم القيامة وشقه مائل. رواه أحمد والأربعة وسنده صحيح. This hadith is reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. This hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Al-Tirmidhi, Al-Nisa'i, and Ibn Majah. The hadith classified to be authentic. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam inform us that anyone who has more than one wife, that means if he have two wives and he inclines to one of them, will come on the day of resurrection with a side inclining. Okay, so that means the way how he dealt with his wives in this dunya, this is the way how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect him in the day of judgment. The inclination here is not inclination of the hearts, because this is something which the person has no control over it. Talking about what you have control over it, like money wise, time wise, things like this. The inclination of the hearts, a person could not have control over it. It may come sometimes as a result of how the wife deals with her husband. One of them, as example, may be cook for him and one doesn't cook, okay? So as a result of this, he may incline towards the one who's cooking. Or one is more beautiful than the other, or whatever reason. But for if it happens that his heart inclined towards one wife more than the other, this shouldn't be a reason for him to spend one night here and two nights here, as example. Or he gives his $10 and gives his $5, okay? So if a person did this, in the day of judgment when he be resurrected, he will be coming with one of his two sides leaning towards the ground. So he's not going to be walking even. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this as a form of punishment for him. And this is a way of embarrassment for him in the day of judgment, that he could not balance himself because he was not balanced. He was not just between his two wives. And we have to be careful, because as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had warned us a lot concerning the rights of the women. And he called the women to be one of the two weak ones, okay? And the other parties, as the Prophet ﷺ informed us, to be the orphan. So the orphan and the woman has a special place in Islam, and special that the woman under the supervision and the control of the man. She don't have too much choice in her affair. And at least in the women who most of overseas in the old days, at least, okay. But nowadays people coming more about so-called lib, women lib and stuff like this. Any small thing, she want to go to her dad, or she want to go home, or give me khul'a, or I don't want to be here anymore, all this stuff, okay. But in general, you found that women who been raised in Islamic discipline, and especially, like I said, overseas, that regardless how much abuse happening to them, they still remaining in the marriage, especially if they already have children. They don't want to break the family, okay? But still, this is not, you understand, that we teaching the brothers to take advantage of women, but in the same time we're saying that in general Islam views women to be a weak, or you may call oppressed, as example. So as a result of this, that we have to be careful about their rights, and especially for those people who have more than one wife, they have to be fair and just. Otherwise, maybe the woman could not do too much with him in this dunya, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him his reward in the hereafter by resurrecting him, inclining with one of his two sides towards the ground. So from this hadith we understand that it is forbidden for a man to incline towards one wife in any means that he has control over it, like visitation, spending nights, buying, purchasing, like this. The justice is necessary by Islam between our children, between our wives, between the people that we have control over them. That we see how Islam had established rights and duties among the Muslims. Next hadith, which hadith number 907, وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال من السنة إذا تزوج الرجل البكرة على الثيب أقام عندها سبعا ثم قسم. وإذا تزوج الثيب أقام عندها ثلاثة ثم قسم. متفق عليه واللفظ للبخاري. This حديث which collected this حديث which is narrated by Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhima. And the narration that we have with us here is from Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, that Anas, and the hadith is authentic, okay, that Anas is saying that from the sunnah, that mean from the teaching of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when a man gets married to a virgin, that he will spend 7 days with her, and after this he will go to divide his time between the other wives. And if he marry a thayyib, which means that a woman that been married before, that he will spend 3 nights with her, and after this he will divide his time. Okay. From this hadith we see, number one, the legality of polygyny in Islam, the permissibility of a man marrying more than one wife. And also the permissibility of marrying a virgin over a thayyib, marrying a girl that never been married before over a woman that been married or even have kids. To some people that this is like shaming you, how you can do this. I understand you marry somebody in age of your daughter, as example. Or that you understand here you marry a woman with all these kids, and after this go marry a woman that never been married, or this like a shame or something like this. We understand that Islam doesn't permit anything which is haram or shameful, okay? So that Islam had permit this and even establish a certain right for the second wife, if she is a virgin, that means she never been married before, that the husband will spend with her 7 nights, and after he finish this week, now he will go to the normal division of nights and visitation between the other wives. Okay, so if he planning to have 1 night each, now he will go after he spend a week with this virgin, now he will go one night, or he spend a week with her, and after this he will go 2 days, 2 days, 2 days, 2 days, like this, okay? But the rights of a girl who never been married before, if a husband marry her and he have another one, that he will give her a full week, and after this he will divide. Now let's assume a person was married to a woman, that thayyib, that means she is not a virgin anymore, regardless if this was something done before Islam, or that something that been done in Islam through marriage, and she's divorced and he went to marry her. So if he been married already and he have a wife, and after this he went to the second or the third wife, and this second wife was already been married before, so we call her thayyib, that means previously she been married or she's not virgin anymore. Now her rights that for him to spend 3 nights. Before he make any division, before he go spend any nights with the other wives, okay, he will have a full 3 nights with her first, and after this he will go about dividing his time between the rest of the wives. And this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the practice that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directing us to it. And as I said, that the hadith is authentic. in page number 372 in hadith number 908 وعن أم سلمة وعن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما تزوجها أقام عندها ثلاثة وقال إنه ليس بك علي على أهلك هوان إن شئت سبعت لك وإن سبعت لك سبعت لنسائي. Okay. This hadith reported by Umm Salama. May Allah be pleased with her. عليكم السلام. The hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he got married to Umm Salama. Okay. And Umm Salama is one of the sahibiyat that her famous story, how that when her husband passed away and she remember hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when one lose something and he will utter the hadith Alhamdulillah inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa khlif li khayran minha, that the Prophet of Allah teaching us that when one lose something and when he lose it, he will utter this dua, praise be to Allah, verily we from Allah and to Allah is our return. No, not from Allah, because this can be misunderstood. Indeed we belong to Allah and to Allah we shall return. O Allah, reward me concerning my calamity and give me a better than what I lost. For a moment Umm Salama, may Allah be pleased with her, she thought and she said, who can be better than Abu Salama? This is her husband, the father of her children, one of the muhajirin and mujahideen fi sabilillah. And regardless whatever it is, she understands that it's still her husband, been with her for a long time, and she cherish her husband a lot. And when he died, she felt bad. But she remembered this hadith. And she started to think, she said, who can be better than Abu Salama? She could not see anybody can be better than him. But was not for her to do anything except to submit to the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because our understanding, our vision, our means of seeing things is limited. But if we really trust in Allah, now we see the result, okay? So to her vision, to her thinking, to her understanding, there is nobody that she can see in the existence, in her knowledge, that better than her husband. But in the meantime, she knows that the Prophet said, and whatever the Prophet saying is true, that if I say this, that Allah will give me a reward for my misfortune, plus what? Allah will give me better than what I lost. So, wa alaykum salam. She has nothing except to say it. She said it. Later on, it's better than Abu Salama and everybody else that she can imagine. And this was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She didn't even have to go to attend to him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sinned, asking her to marry him. And she was happy, and now we can see how a person who entrusts in Allah and the trust in his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now we see the result that she married a man who is better than her husband and all the sahaba, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam marry Umm Salama, Umm Salama already thayyib, that mean what? Previously she been married. Okay, so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's supposed to spend with her what, 3 nights before he go to the rest of his wives. So he spent the 3 nights with her, and after this he tried to show her that it's not because she's lower in status or anything like this. So don't think you understand, you mean nothing, and this is the reason I'm not, you understand, spending more time with you. And if you want, I will spend the whole week, but I will have to go and make up to the rest of the wives the time that, the extra time that I'm going to give you. And this shows the manner of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he was so concerned about his wife, to make her not to have this suspicion or this bad feeling about herself, or I'm not, you understand, deserve more than this or anything like this. And this it teaches us that sometimes with a good word, does this all what it takes, understand, a good word, that you can make a big change in your life, in your wife life, by trying to be nice to her, by extending few words to her. Try and say, I know I promise you to take you for dinner, but I got emergency call, I really have to go, and I promise I'm going to make it up for you, you understand, and maybe you understand, rent a car and we eat out of town. It's few, you understand, I have to run now. Oh, I thought you understand, you told me get dressed so we can go for dinner. I talk to you later. You see, the same way that you say, I talk to you later and all these things, okay, you can take 1 minute and explain the situation to your wife. And you can apologize, it's nothing going to hurt, it's not going to break your neck, okay? I'm serious, sweetheart, I'm so sorry, I'll make it for you, and understand. A few words, okay? And this from the sunnah, from the mannerism of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that will be kind to our, to all the human beings, but especially to our wives. The next hadith, which hadith Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, this hadith number 909. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن سودة بنت زمعة وهبت يومها لعائشة وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقسم لعائشة يومها ويوم سودة. Okay. This hadith reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima. The hadith is authentic, which saying that Sauda, daughter of Zam'a, gave away her night to Aisha. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allotted a share to Aisha of her day and Sauda. Okay. Sauda was a woman who getting older in age, and she feels that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has no much desire to her, but she still want to keep to be in the rank of the wives of the prophets, to have this status, to have this privilege, okay, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is her husband. So she made a deal with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or she tried to make a deal before it would be too late, okay? So instead the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam divorced her, so she went and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she knew from the Prophet that he loves Aisha more than anybody else. So she went and made a deal with the Prophet to keep her as a wife, not to divorce her, to still remaining as his wife, okay? And that she willing to give her night, her share to Aisha. Okay? So that means instead the Prophet ﷺ going one night, so now the night of Sauda, he will give it to Aisha plus Aisha's night. That means Aisha will get what? Two nights. Okay? And this is the right, you understand, of anybody to do this. As example, if I owe you $10, I am obligated to pay you the $10. Okay? But it's not my choice, because I'm obligated to pay this money. But it is your choice and it is your right that you release me from this burden and say, Adli, forget about this $10, you don't have to pay it. Okay? So a man is obligated to fulfill this obligation towards his wife. But the wife has the right, as example, may Allah bless us all, or some of us, those who don't want the blessings, at least me. If there is a woman, she's millionaire, and you marry a woman with a lot of money, and she come and say, you Adli, don't worry about, you understand this anymore, I take care of it, alright, I'm going to buy you this village, or this what you call no, there is something, villa, you know what is villa? I'll buy you this villa, okay, and all what I want, you understand, your presence. I'll be the one who taking care of everything. It's the man's obligation to support and maintain the woman. But if the woman want to forego her right, now it is her right to do this, and the man is not obligated anymore to support or maintain her. And not for him to come later on and say, oh, I feed you, I bathe you, I did, you understand? If she release him from this burden, this is it. So now, the man is not obligated anymore to give this. So Aisha, and also when you say, okay, I forgive you from the $10, all what you need to pay me $5. So I still obligated to what? To $5. Or I forgo $5 and you still owe me $2, but give Habib $2 and pay me $3. You see? So this is your right. You can disperse it, or assemble it in whatever manner and fashion that you want. So when Sauda forgo her right, she gave it to Aisha. So Umm Kulthum, as example, or Zainab could not come and demand the Prophet ﷺ, why you giving Aisha two nights? Because Sauda had gave her share specifically to Aisha. You understand? So the Prophet ﷺ has the right to accept this, and also the right will go to whosoever Sauda had give it to. Is this understood?
Excuse me, could she reclaim that right, Sauda?
Can she reclaim it?
Ask back for it?
No, except if she gave it for a specific
time.
Okay? Because also don't forget that sometimes when you release certain rights, there is certain other things it may ties to this. You don't tell me, you understand, okay, is this okay, you don't have to come visit me anymore. And now I make commitment as a result of this, okay? And now later on you come and say, oh, I changed my mind. You see? So here Sauda had gave her right to who? To the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give her right to Sauda. To Aisha, yes, Jazakallah khairan. So this hadith shows the permissibility of a woman giving her night to her co-wife. She can give it for a month, for a year, or for good. And also that a wife has the right to disperse her rights in whatever manner she wants. And is no harm for the man to accept this. Next hadith, which hadith number 3 that a woman can give certain rights or make a deal with a husband, with her husband, to keep her as a wife. Okay, as a wife. Instead of him divorcing her. So if a woman come to realize this, that her husband doesn't like her anymore, or she's not interested in her anymore, she's too much for him, whatever it is, she feels this, or he said to her, listen, I don't think I can deal with this anymore, I think we're going to have to depart. So she can present a plan to him. If she want to remain in this marriage and for him to accept it or not. Okay? Hadith number 910 وعن عروة قال قالت عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها يا ابن أختي كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يفضل بعضنا على بعض في القسم من مكسه عندنا وكان قل يوم إلا وهو يطوف علينا جميعا فيدنو من كل امرأة من غير مسيس حتى يبلغ التي هو يومها فيبيت عندها رواه أحمد وأبو داود واللفظ له وصححه الحاكم حديث صحيح. This hadith reported by Urwa that Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, said to her nephew. And this hadith is authentic. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And the hadith is in the collection of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood al-Hakim. That Aisha is reporting that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't prefer any of us over the other. He did not prefer a wife over than the other concerning division and sharing certain obligation, okay? He may love one more than the other, but he never gave one more than the other. Okay? Again, let's say this again. That maybe he loved one wife more than the other, but the Prophet ﷺ did not give one right rights more than the other. Okay? That the Prophet ﷺ used to be equal among all of us concerning division, regardless of visitation. No day passed, or most times, that he used to pass by all of us, that means visiting all of us, okay, spend some time with us, without sleeping with us, until he go to the one that is here night, okay. Again, O nephew, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not prefer some of us over the others regarding the division of time. He would spend with us. It was very rare that he would not visit us all and come near each of his wives without having intercourse with her till he visited the one whose day it was and spent the night with her. Okay, as I said, the hadith is authentic. And this shows the permissibility of a man who have more than one wife to visit his wives in the same day or the same night. Okay, but this, if he's going to do this also the next day, let's say that a man have four wives as example. So now when is the night of Aisha, he go visit all of them. Okay, spend 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour. By the time he go home, it's 12 o'clock. So the next day he go and visit also. When he go to Safiya, he go by 12 o'clock. But when time for Zam'a as example, he's there at home at 10 o'clock. You see, this is now is different. So if he's going to be visiting, he visit, he do this, okay, with the same, treat them fairly, okay, and he can go spend time, he can touch her, he can kiss her, can talk with her, he can discuss her, the problems, it's no problem. And when is the night come, he will go to spend the night with the wives, that's supposed to be her turn. But this should be his habit with the other wives at the same every day also, okay? Not to prefer, and when is the night of one another, he now he don't visit, okay? Alright?
How do you resolve if he misses the night with one wife? Say for instance, sickness or something, you
know? Okay, inshallah we'll get to this. It's coming. ولمسلم عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلى العصر دار على نساء ثم يدنو منهن الحديث. In another version which in collection of Imam Muslim, that Aisha said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when Allah's messenger offered the Asr prayer, the afternoon prayer, he would visit his wives in turn, then come closer to them. Okay? Again, explaining the same meaning that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do this visitation to all his wives. Hadith number 911, page number 373. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يسأل في مرضه الذي مات فيه أين أنا غدا يريد يوم عائشة فأذن له أزواجه يكون حيث شاء فكان في بيت عائشة متفق عليه. Did you turn the tape, Habib? Huh? Okay. Be turning off soon, huh? Aisha reported during the sickness or the illness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that means his last sickness, the one that he died in it. He was asking, where shall I be tomorrow? Meaning Aisha's day. His wives therefore permitted him to stay where the wished, where he wished, and he stayed in Aisha's house. As we understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, halla Bukhari, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to love Aisha more than any of his wives. Okay, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his last illness, he was always asking, where I supposed to be tomorrow, where I'm going to be supposed to be, hinting, okay, or try to see when going to come the night where he's going to be in house of Aisha, he feel more comfortable, all these things. So his wives, see the mannerism of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he don't have to go through all this, but to teach us how to be fair, to teach us how to be fair. And he was hinting to his wives, okay, that where I supposed to be tomorrow, so which he's talking about when. So when they got to understood that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually concerned about when he's going to be in Aisha's house, they dropped the rights and they said to him to, okay, whatever way that you feel comfortable, this is okay with us, okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went and he spent his time there, and we know that this is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. If the illness of the man, like Brother Jabir asking, permits him to walk or to be driven or whatever it is, he's still required to do so. Otherwise, if he's in the hospital, this is a different situation. But if he's in the house, he should walk, or his wife can drive him, or he should get a taxi, whatever it is, except if the wife permits him to do so. Okay, if he's in emergency condition that he could not write, so this is, yes. Still he have to fulfill this obligation, okay? If he could not be driven and could not walk, all these things, and he stay for a week, stay for a month, he have to make this time, or otherwise he may make a house for himself, which can be, this is his house, and his wives can come and visit him in this, okay, this place that he's going to be. وعنه صلى الله عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أراد سفرا أقرع بين نسائه فأيتهن خرج سهمها خرج بها معه. From the previous hadith, we see the necessity of a man being fair and just with his wives, and not to prefer anyone over than the other concerning spending times, money, sheltering, okay? Although that you may prefer a wife over the other in your heart, but not for you to incline towards one more than the other in division. Alright, you have to spend equal time. Also, that the necessity of spending the time equally, even if the person is sick. Okay? Because it's not a matter of only about intercourse, it's about being there with the wife and have your presence there in the house. If the women drop their rights, so this will be the relief or the release for the husband. The next hadith shows us about the mannerism of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning his traveling and taking one of his wives with him. And the hadith also reported by Aisha and the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make qura, cast lots, okay, like what you call it today, as example, head or tails, okay? You take a quarter and you flip it, and you go according this, or you may write names in piece of paper, okay? And put it in the kufi, okay? And make sure you don't write the same names two times.